As you turn in your Bibles, we also have an outline in the bulletin that will go along with the message as well, if you would like to use that. Right before I get into the message, the word this morning, I just want to give everybody a word of greeting and thanks from Mama Nell. There was a letter waiting for us when I got back from vacation from Nell. It was actually two letters. One was a note to Jay Johns and his crew who went and did cleanup at her house, and she had raving reviews for them. So thank you, Jay, for facilitating that and taking care of that. But she went on to say that she wanted to just greet everybody and let you know that she misses us terribly. Unfortunately, she does not have the strength to get up and get out to church at this point. And so she's homebound. But she loves the visitors that many of you get over and visit with her. And thank you for that. I invite you to continue to do that. Every once in a while, if you want to bring her a meal, bring her something. She loves something from Lido's. And it can even be pizza. But she wanted me to express her gratitude and thank you for her prayers. But also, she wanted you to know that she's still praying for us. She's praying for you. And you know that every once in a while you might get a note from Mama Nell. It may not be as frequent as in the past, but she's still praying for us. And her heart is with us, and our hearts are with her. Amen. We're looking at John chapter 15. I'm going to continue the message that I started 3 weeks ago and did not get to finish. Look forward to finishing that up today. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 17. Let me read that for us as we get into the Word. These are the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Pray with me. Father, speak to us from the words of your Son. May his words touch our hearts, pierce our hearts, transform our hearts, that we may bear fruit that glorifies you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This message is all about fruit, isn't it? Well, while we were down in South Carolina on vacation, we love the fruit down there because, man, it grows large. It's really, really good. In fact, I have a picture of the watermelon that they had down there. Yeah, that's from South Carolina, and they loaded that in our minivan, and we had watermelon for the rest of the week down there. That is actually, though, from South Carolina, on a farm down there, and they pride themselves on having one of the largest watermelons in the United States. Pretty incredible, isn't it? Wow. No, we didn't load that in our minivan. I don't think anyone would have moved if we did that. But I do want to talk to us again as we look at this passage. I want to talk about Jesus' words to us. And His word is this, that He is looking for good fruit in our lives. And here's the main point of the message, that Jesus is looking for lasting fruit in us. And that lasting fruit is a transformed life of love, of obedience, and reaching out to others. The life of Jesus in us is a supernatural life. It's a transformative life. Jesus did not mean for us to simply follow a new set of rules and regulations, although He mentions that He wants us to obey His commands. He is not giving a command that is something foreign to the people of God. No. It's a command that God gave to them from the beginning, but that had gotten lost in the translation. But in Jesus' message, what He wants us to understand is that we are to live this life as Christ followers in the transforming power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the fact of the matter is, you and I cannot live the Christian life in our own strength. We cannot. We've just read the words in verse 16. It says, apart from Me, you can do nothing. And what He means there is nothing of eternal value. Nothing that is going to last for an eternity. You and I, we can't change another person. We can't even change ourselves, let alone another person. But we find within Jesus, as we are connected to Him, the true vine, we find a new power, a new life, the connection that we have with Him, that spiritual sap flows in us. Like the vine out to the branch that produces good fruit, so that spiritual sap flows in us. You and I cannot live the Christian life on our own strength, disconnected to the true vine, Jesus Christ, because it ends up being self-will. It ends up being, well, I'm going to live my life the best I can in my own strength. And I don't know about you, first of all, that's a very wearying, burdensome thing, trying to live with a bunch of rules and regulations that you can't do in your own strength. But no, Jesus has something better for us. Jesus has new life for us. Jesus wants to see fruit grown in our lives. Beautiful fruit. As we were driving down to South Carolina, there were several places that we passed that had vineyards. And you could see the vines growing on the lines that they had set up. Now, there wasn't any fruit yet. It's too early in the season for fruit. But you could see the green leaves spreading out. And you know that in a short time, there's going to be delicious, luscious fruit on those vines. And that's what Jesus is looking for. That's what Jesus is expecting. That's what Jesus wants to produce, and He wants us to bear in our lives. Good fruit. And we will bear good fruit, as we say, connected to Jesus. Again, I bring us back to verse 16, which really underpins this message, is that we did not choose Jesus. He chose us. Jesus chose us, and He chose us to go and bear lasting fruit. Jesus wants to see fruit born in your life and my life, fruit that's going to impact other people. Brother Mike talked about the fact that when we go out here from this building, we are entering our mission field. And in some senses, we really begin our mission field right here. You may meet people here that you don't know. We may have friends and family and visitors that come. You may meet them right here. But it doesn't end here. You leave this place, the sanctuary, and you go forth into a world that needs to be impacted by the fruit that Jesus will bear in your life, in my life. I think of the words from John chapter 12. Jesus giving the new command where he says, love one another as I have loved you. That's where he first said it in chapter 12. And he added this on the end. He said, by this will all people know that you are my disciples. By what? The love you have for one another. He doesn't say they will know that you are Christians by the big Bible that you carry around. As important as the word is, and we're going to talk about that. It doesn't say that. A lot of times we can't carry our Bible around with us. Some workplaces you're not allowed to have one. It doesn't say that. He doesn't say that you're going to know that you're Christians by the way that you dress, or the way that you wear your hair, or a pious, scowling attitude that you might have. Some of us sometimes look like we're sucking on lemons. And Jesus said, I give you joy. We need to have Jesus' joy in our life. Amen? Because when we're connected to Jesus, man, life gets exciting. Life begins to take on new meaning and a new chapter for each one of us. So some of this is going to be reviewed, but quickly, we saw that Jesus set up this analogy in order to help us to understand the analogy of the vine. He talked about Israel had been the true vine of God. God had planted Israel as a good vine, a choice vine, but unfortunately Israel had become corrupted. He looked to find good fruit in Israel, and he found bad fruit. He found corrupted fruit. And because of that, he disciplined them. He chastised them. And so he says, now I am the true vine, the one that has come forth from the line of Israel, from the descendancy of David. He is the Messiah, the Christ of God, and he is the true vine. And he says, my Father is the gardener. And so you get this picture of Jesus who's very much involved in our lives. And the Father is involved as well in the process of cultivation. Sometimes it involves some pruning. Sometimes it involves even cutting away dead growth. We talked about that last time. The takeaway of that part, I want to mention it again, is that Jesus deals with branches that bear no fruit. Jesus deals with branches that bear no fruit. You can be sure that Jesus will not leave you alone. If you come near to Jesus, he's not going to leave you alone, is he, Brother Joe? He's going to follow you. He might follow you through the pastor who shows up in the car where you ought not to be at the right moment. I won't go into that story. I told it a few weeks ago. Jesus is looking for fruit, and he's looking in your life and in my life. He's involved. He's connected to you because he's the true vine. And the Father is cultivating our lives. He is working in us. He says in verse 2, the B section of it, it says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. This is the discipline process that we read about in Hebrews chapter 12. Well, let's move forward. Let's break it down a little bit more. We will bear lasting fruit as we stay connected to Jesus, and we will have a transformed life of love and obedience. Here's how it happens. You ready? Number one, and we looked at this last time, so quickly, we remain in Christ, we abide in him, and we keep his word remaining in us. You and I have got to stay connected to Jesus. Let me pause there and step back and just ask the question. Are you connected to Jesus? Have you come to the place of getting connected with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, who is the true vine? Have you gotten connected with him? How does that happen? It begins by us coming and recognizing our need, repenting of sins, repenting of unbelief, repenting of trusting in ourselves, and we come to Christ the Savior, and we ask His forgiveness, and we invite Him into our lives. That's the first step of the journey. That's step number one. That's Christianity 101. Over the past several months, we've had one of our study groups with our men, and that was our focus. Understanding what it means to come to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord in your life, and then following Him. And one of the issues that Jesus brings up, it's not me, it's not the church, but Jesus brings it up. He says, if you're going to be my follower, then you need to get baptized. That was one of our lessons. And what was really neat is out of that lesson, about four or five guys said, we need to get baptized. So guess what? In August, we're going to have an all-church picnic and a baptism. And if you've not been baptized, if you've not followed Jesus in believer baptism, that will be the time for you to get baptized. We invite you to do that. Jesus tells us if we're going to be His followers, you need to get baptized. So you invite Christ in, and He comes in, but it's not just a new religious experience, a new set of rules and regulations. No, He comes to abide in us. And He says to you and me, watch this, He says, if you will abide in me, if you will remain in me, and I, Jesus, will remain in you, you will bear much fruit. You will. You will bear much fruit. What does it mean then to abide? It means to live fully in Christ. It's like the picture of a house, and that you live fully in the house. You are occupying every room. You're not just staying in one part of the house. When I was growing up, it was in the late, I believe it was in the either late 60s or early 70s. I know I'm dating myself as I say that. Seems like a whole millennia ago, doesn't it? I'm old, but I'm not obsolete. God is still relevant even today. When I was an age, I think it was about 13 or 14, my mother's mom, my grandmother, Strauss, came to live with us. And we had to make some rearrangements in the house. And what my parents did is they added on a porch that was off of their bedroom. They turned it into a sitting room, a TV room. And that's where my grandmother basically spent all her time. She was older and frail and needed looking after and care. And she couldn't really get around very well. And so she would get up out of bed, and she would take a few steps and sit in her chair in her little sitting room. And my mom would bring her breakfast in, and she would have breakfast there. And occasionally, Grandma Strauss would come to the table in the kitchen. And occasionally she would help to make chicken soup. She learned a great recipe from some Jewish neighbors, and that's where we coined the phrase Jewish penicillin. Whenever Grandma knew we were sick, she would help to make chicken soup, and it was Jewish penicillin to us. Well, Grandma, I don't think she ever went outside of the kitchen. I don't think she ever went into the living room. I don't think she, well, I know she didn't ever go upstairs to the second floor. She couldn't make it up the stairs. And there was a bathroom right outside of her room, and she used that one, but she never went into the second bathroom, which was on the other side of the house. She did not occupy all the house. She was just living in one little section of the house. The house was hers to be a part of. She could have lived in any section. She could have gone into any room and be a part of it, but she could not. She chose not to. She stayed in her little room. How many of us in our lives, we just kind of keep Jesus confined to that one little room in our life? Well, Jesus, I'll give you my life on Sunday from 10 till about 11:15, 11:30, 11:45. And if y'all don't laugh at my jokes, it might be later. But Jesus, I'll give you that time. And that's a pretty good space of time, Jesus, for the week, so that's what I give you. And, yeah. And Jesus says, oh no, I want more than that. In fact, I want your whole life. I want Sunday through Saturday, 24/7. I want to be a part of your life. I want to be connected to you, and I want you to stay and be connected to me. And guess what? When you stay connected to Jesus, you feel that spiritual power, that spiritual sap flowing through your life. And guess what? Things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. You will find that your desires begin to change. As you remain connected to Christ and you keep His Word remaining in you and stay connected to that, things begin to happen. You see, because I become filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills me and begins to change my heart. And we've talked about this many times. Ezekiel chapter 36, how He begins to bring the law and He imprints it on my heart and my mind so that I begin to do the very things that God wants me to do. I remember as a young person, I went through youth group. I went to church. I sang in the youth choir that we had. I was pretty involved with church. But you know, I got to be very honest with you. I'm not sure how much impact Jesus and His Word was having in my life at that point. Part of the problem was that I had not surrendered my life. I was like, okay, this Jesus thing is pretty cool. You know, I go to youth group and there's some cute girls that are there, so I can tolerate youth group. And I kind of like some of the activities that we did. You know, and we occasionally have a pool party, and that was pretty cool. And you know, I go to church, and oh boy, you have to kind of endure church, especially with that long-winded preacher. And I was in the youth choir, and we would sing, not every Sunday, but a lot of Sundays, and so that was good. And then we'd go out to a restaurant afterwards and have breakfast, have pancakes, but that was a lot of fun. But I'm not sure Jesus ever really got a hold of my heart at that point. I believe He was working. I believe He was drawing me, but it wasn't until I surrendered to Him and said, Jesus, I give You my life, and I want You to be connected to me, and I want to be connected to You. And guess what? I began to read His Word. And I'm not talking about just, you know, a two-minute devotion in the morning. A devotion in the morning is good. But we need much, much more than a daily crumb. We need much, much more than that. And if you're using, you know, a little devotional book like the Daily Bread, that's great. That's fine. That's a good starting point. By the way, if you read it and they give scripture references, look them up. Read them. Meditate on them. Look at that word and say, Jesus, what are You trying to say to me in this word? Don't just stop, you know, and do it perfunctory. Go through it in 5 seconds and read it and move on. Don't do that. Connect to Jesus through His Word. Well, I graduated from high school and I couldn't be in the youth group anymore. I was too old. It's kind of like today. I'm too old. Well, I found a Bible study. It wasn't, unfortunately, it wasn't in my church, but I found a local Bible study. And guess what? They sat around and they actually read the Word. And we talked about it. What does this mean to our lives? We dug in. And I began to have a taste for the Word, because the Lord says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, when you taste the Word of God, when you begin to taste what Jesus has for you and for me, it's like, man, this is good. I want more. I'm hungry. I want more. And I began to go to that Bible study every week. No one was making me go. My parents, I think, were amazed that I found the Bible study on my own. They were like, wow, that's great. Praise God. We're glad. We've been praying for you. And I went to that Bible study for a long, long time. And I got into the Word. And you know what? The Word began to speak to me. The Word began to transform me as Jesus softened my heart, as Jesus was beginning to connect with me deep in my life. And so over and over again, we need to spend time in the Word. I told you last time about the note cards that I use. Well, as I was going through the message again this week, I decided to make another note card, this time out of verse 5 here. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so I've decided I'm going to commit that verse to memory. Now, it's not just about committing a verse to memory. That's not the point. That's not the end all. The end all is to get the word down into my heart. To let it become a part of me. To internalize that. Well, you have to memorize it. Now, some of us struggle with memorizing. I understand. But you can get most of that word. Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. And if you remain in me, then you will bear much fruit. But remember, apart from me, you can do nothing. Wouldn't that be a great verse to think about every day? If I live this day apart from you, separated from you, connected, disconnected from you, I'm not going to bear any fruit. Because your word says I can't do anything apart from you. Wouldn't that be a great motivation to stay connected to Jesus all day long? So let's stay connected to Jesus and His Word, and we will bear lasting fruit. Number two. You didn't think I was going to get there, did you? That was all review. Number two. We will bear lasting fruit in our lives. Jesus will produce it. We don't produce it. Jesus produces it. He's the one that has the spiritual sap, but we bear the fruit. It happens in our life. We will bear lasting fruit as number two. We obey His commands, especially the command to love one another. Let me pause here for just a second. I understand that we have freedom in Christ. I understand that we are no longer under the law, that we are led by the Spirit. But I think sometimes we forget these words of Jesus. As I mentioned already, chapter 12, Jesus says, a new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. Here again, He says, here is my command. Verse 17, this is my command. Love one another. Now, we know this word love is the word agape. It is that divine word for love, which means it's a self-sacrificing and unconditional love. I want your good as much as I want my good. I want for you God's best. And I'm going to work that you would receive God's best as I want that for myself. And Jesus said that's the kind of love that we have to have as His followers. Now, I don't know about you, but I know I cannot do that in my own strength. I have a lot of trouble getting past myself. Anybody else? Got a bit of trouble getting past yourself. Your own self, your own desires, your own will, your own flesh. Jesus begins to change that. And the interesting thing is, I do begin to become concerned and considering others more than just myself. I do begin to think about other people rather than just myself. Why? Because the Spirit of God within me is wanting that love to flow out. We sang that beautiful but simple song, He Loves Us. Oh, how He loves us. And that is such a beautiful, simple truth that is straight from the gospel, that God loves us. He loves us so much that He sent His Son that we may know Him, that we may have new life, we might have forgiveness of our sins, and that we can walk in the fullness of life through the empowering Holy Spirit. That's how much He loves us. I remember one time I was talking to a fellow, and we were discussing about God, and I mentioned to him, I said, God really loves you, man. He really loves you. He loves us. And the man said to me, He loves me. God loves me. He goes, what did God ever do for me? I said, man, I'm glad you asked. You know, and I understand that attitude because the enemy has just garbled up the message of Christ. And unfortunately, in many churches, the message of Christ has just gotten lost in translation. Where it's all about a building, it's all about a program, it's all about a style, it's all about this, you name it. And we have to get back to the simplicity and the beauty of the gospel, that Jesus Christ loves us. He has come to reveal the Father to us, the heart of the Father who loves us, who forgives us no matter what. I know this is just a little bit of a side tangent, but I just feel so constrained to say it. Guys, God loves us so much. You may say, well, you know, I'm not sure if God loves me. Pastor, if you knew the kind of things that I've done, if you know what's in my heart, I'm not sure if God can love me. Well, guess what? God does know what's in your heart. I may not know. I can't read your mind. I don't know what's going on, you know, behind the scenes, so to speak. But God does. He knows everything about us. And yes, He still loves us. No matter what. Now, that does not give us a license to sin. I'm not saying that. But God can handle our junk. God can handle everything that we bring to Him. Every baggage, every aspect of our lives, He can handle it. Think of the disciples. Think of the people that Jesus called to Himself. They were not model citizens. We've been watching the series AD that I think maybe it was on PBS. I'm not sure. But by the way, if you read that, if you watch that series, it does not follow the biblical storyline. There's a lot of things added into it. A lot of it's just fictional. So don't take that as gospel truth. Okay? But they were trying to portray some of the disciples. And, you know, a couple of them, we read in the scriptures that some of them were zealots. James and John, it calls them sons of thunder. Why? Because every time they would get into a conflict, they would start fighting. They would start getting into fist fights with one another. Simon, not Simon Peter, but the other disciple, he was called a zealot. Well, you know what zealots did? They were violent. They injured and killed people. That was the zealot movement of the day. And he was a part of that. We don't know what he did. You had other fishermen. They were rough. We had a tax collector, Levi, right? The tax collector. And he's the one that we know now as Matthew. So God can handle all of our stuff. And He wants us, as we stay connected, to love one another. This is to be the hallmark of us as Christians. Let me step back and ask us, how are we doing in that aspect of loving one another? It is easy in this culture to lose sight of that, isn't it? It's just, in this culture today, it is just so easy to lose sight of it. One of the things that it was just really, really nice being on vacation is just to, you know, disconnect and not be into the regular schedules of the daily grind and life and expectations and work and phone calls and all those kind of things that all of us go through, right? And to be able to step back and to consider yourself. And I realize that, man, sometimes, you know, I lose sight of the very thing Jesus has called us to. Yes, I am to preach a message. But first and foremost, I am to love one another. I am to love you, and you are called to love me. We are called to love one another. And guess what? You can't do that if you're disconnected from Jesus. And that's just one of His commands. Jesus says, obey my commands. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Verses 9 and 10, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. His commands to love one another, to do good to those who are enemies, to do good to those who hate you. Watch this. You ready? You still with me? Say amen. To forgive those that offend you. That's a hard one. Right? The guy who cuts you off as you are trying to get to work. You are not to flip him the peace sign. You know, Brenda will tell you, I used to be really bad with traffic. Really bad. I mean, To me, it was like an invitation to fight. You know, someone cuts me off, or someone, you know how it goes, they pull in front of you and then they hit their brakes, right? You know they're doing it on purpose. Man, it used to get me riled up. And I'd be like, I'm going to get in. Brenda would be like, what's wrong with you? You know, you just pat her on her bumper. Stop it. You know, or, you know, you have to get off on an exit and you have another car that's there and you've got to get in front of them, don't you? And you speed up, and guess what? They speed up. And you speed up, and they speed up. Why do you have to be first? Tom, why do you have to be first? Guess what? I've come, finally, it only took 35 years, to peace about it. It's like, you know what? I don't need to be first. I don't need to be first. And you know what? Someone cuts me off. Oh, well. They crucified Jesus on the tree. I can endure being cut off. I can endure someone flipping me the peace sign. It just doesn't matter. Those things are so insignificant anymore. Now, I know, you know, if you're on your way to work and you're going to be late, I get it. I understand. You know, but you know what? Work towards leaving 5 minutes earlier so you don't have to drive like a speed demon and deal with all the craziness of traffic. You know, I get it. But you know what? This is where Jesus calls us to be different. Where the rubber meets the road. No pun intended. Right? He wants to see people who are driving in commuter traffic lovingly. Love your enemy. The one that cuts you off. You know? Sometimes I just feel so bad. You have an older person that, you know, is trying to get onto the highway and everybody's just tearing past them, won't let them in, you know, and it's like, where's our heart? Where's our compassion? Slow down. Be different. Let the love of Jesus that you are connected to, let Him change the way that you act and think and speak. Amen? Love one another, Jesus said. Let love be the hallmark as Christians. I'm going to end with this, and I know I've skipped a lot of stuff here. That's okay. 1 John 4:7-8. John reiterates these words of Jesus, and he says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knoweth God. He that loves not does not know God, for God is love. And so Jesus, ending this section in John chapter 15, says, This is my command, love each other. If you stay connected to Jesus and you stay connected to His Word, then you will. You will love each other. You will love your neighbor. You will love those that are unlovable. You will love. Because the Spirit of Jesus flowing through you desires that you and I love as He loved us. Amen? He loved us. Therefore, He wants us to flow with that overflowing love towards others. Now, if you're not connected to Jesus, if you haven't come to Him, not much of this is going to make much sense to you. So I invite you, at the end of the service, there'll be a couple of our elders here in the front, one of our deaconesses, maybe you need to make that commitment to Christ. Maybe you need to start this walk, this journey with Christ. You can invite Him into your life. And you can find a transformation. Your sins will be forgiven. Your heart will be full. And Jesus will come and live in you. Christians, those of us who know Jesus, this morning I'm going to ask you to make a commitment that you are going to live in connection with Jesus, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. Live in connection with Him. Start your day with Jesus. Walk with Jesus through the day. End your day with Jesus as you're laying in the bed. Thank Him. Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You that You've forgiven me of my failures in this day. and that you haven't left me. Thank you, Lord. And now grant me good sleep and rest so that when I wake up, I can serve you again. Your life can flow through me again. Make that a commitment to Jesus as we pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus that we can know you, Lord, and that we can live a new life, that our lives can be transformed. Lord, I ask that you would take the words that Jesus has spoken that continue to speak almost 2,000 years later, and Lord, you would prick our hearts. Lord, move us to commitment. Those of us that need to come to Jesus, you will move on our hearts. And Lord, those of us who need to reconnect with Jesus and make a commitment to walk with him every day, Lord, move on our hearts. Prick our hearts. Lord, do the work by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you give us. The wonderful life where we can glorify you with good works. Lord, I ask especially that we would love one another. Lord, let that be the hallmark of our lives, that we love one another. I pray this over your people. I bless them for their attention to your word. Lord, give us a great rest of this day as we walk with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. God bless you all. First time folks, love to meet you in the lobby. Don't forget the VBS meeting immediately following. We'll see you out there.